Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So last few days we were speaking about devotee care, and yesterday we spoke about emotional care. Today we will speak about spiritual care. Spiritual care is compared to the water for the plant of devotion. In the commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, Srila Prabhupada writes, as one cultivates a seed by pouring water to fructify it, the seed of devotional service sown in the heart of the devotee may be cultured by pouring water in the form of hearing and chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord. So we will look at some guidelines, best practices, and then focus on two things that are very foundational in regard to care, spiritual care. And so the first guideline from this guidebook is to collect information on each devotee. Have a database both like material and spiritual information about every devotee in the community. And of course, maybe it's not so hard to have a database, but somebody has to look at this information. Somebody has to read it, and somebody has to do something with this information to facilitate the spiritual advancement of each and every devotee. Second point is that each devotee should receive care and individual guidance. Usually groups are formed of people who are on a similar level of commitment or advancement. And then the more advanced and committed devotee is assigned to take care of them. But everybody is supposed to get individual care. Now, based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings, his books, we provide education and inspiration. Systematic education, that's not lacking here, because we have a college. But also now what is growing here is a mentoring or mentoring system. And we will also meet mentors in a few days. Here it mentions different courses, retreats, then this means group facilitation or group teaching and education, and also individual mentoring, guidance. To educate devotees to appreciate differences, and we are like international society, so different people, different people have different mentalities and come from different cultures, and we want to practice unity in diversity. So we want to facilitate everybody. We don't make difference what faith you are or color of skin or origin. Everybody has a right to practice spiritual life. Then engaging both men and women, and here it mentions some detail is mentioned here, that even women who have children can engage in some preaching that they can do from their homes. In India, even ladies are so inspired that they go out to distribute books with children in their hands or with a cart. How do you call it? The cart? Push. Push something. It's not push cart, something else. Push chair. Maybe push chair. Ah. Okay. You know what I mean. So, and they distribute nice, good number of books. There are some other also details, but every temple should have a devotee care team. Like you have child protection team, you have maybe marriage council. And this, when you have a devotee care team, then this team is developing all kinds of programs and helping to develop culture of care and how you say, include it in all other departments. And we mentioned that part of the principles of devotee care is that the success of any project is being measured by how much it provides devotee care. So people, putting people first. There is an expression, first things first, but that's a wrong expression, because first things are not things, first things are people. So putting people first, putting devotees first, is something that one of our leaders have done in his community many years ago. I heard that he said, forget about everything, focus on devotee care. Of course, they didn't neglect everything, but the focus was changed. In another leader also, he said it took him 7 years to convince devotees that this is important. And then finally, they started forming groups, and they started, you know, some people started taking on the service of a spiritual guide. 7 years. It's not easy to convince conditioned souls to care for others. People care for others if they are their family, but for other people who are their friends or who are fellow devotees, not so easy. But we are in a phase of our movement where we have to do this. World leaders are claiming for so many years that they care, and they have always been proven that they don't care. Financially, emotionally, spiritually. I don't understand exactly all kinds of financial decisions, but I heard that some of the decisions that they make, or probably all of the decisions that they make, are actually corruption and fraud. And then people lose so much money. Like, I heard that $700 million have been lost by the shareholders because of something, I forgot, in America there is something going on. So this means, you know, people just lose tons of money. Just by one decision that, you know, this should be done or that should be done, or some people should be taxed, some like this. But actually behind this, usually there is a huge manipulation so that some people can profit. So we don't want our movement to be like this. Sometimes devotees have felt exploited in our movement, that they have distributed books or distributed so many things and made money and worked hard and they got nothing. Now, it depends on your level of consciousness, how much you can see any devotional service as exploitation. But leaders should never give that impression that, you know, you should work for me. Or sometimes people, you know, like just take away things and like that. So this is we have to become genuine, we have to become sincere, we have to become real. if you cannot care for people, then you cannot be a leader. If you cannot care for people, then just live on your own or take care of your family, and that's it. But if you have a little bit more heart, then it has to be genuine. In the beginning, maybe we don't feel so much. Maybe we think, well, I'm just trying to care, but it's a little bit artificial. But the more you do it, the more you feel it. And start to see devotees as special people and worthy of your care. So even if you have to force yourself in the beginning, it doesn't matter. The more you do it, the more you like it, the more Krishna is pleased. So today I wanted to focus on two things. We have a good half an hour to discuss two things. One of our leaders, who has developed a nice caring community in one ex-Russian country in Europe, said that our Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I still have to find where it is, that the most important aspect of care is strengthening devotees' faith. Strengthening devotees' faith in Krishna and in devotional service. So faith is the basis of devotional service. If you don't have faith, you will leave. I think this is incense. Upstairs I didn't cough so much. There is so much smoke. Huh? Now it's a little less, but still. If one doesn't have faith in this process, if one doesn't have faith in God, after some time he will leave the process and leave Krishna consciousness. Everything is based on faith. In the material world, whatever you choose to have faith in is temporary. So you cannot have absolute faith, or you cannot have long-term faith. But in spiritual life, you may say it's the same. How do I know? Well, you have to test it. And ultimately, the ultimate test is at the moment of death. But in between, before you die, you can make your decisions based on your best intelligence, your best feeling. Does this make sense to you? Does it make sense to you that we are eternal servant of God? Does it make sense to you that we are in illusion? Does it make sense to you that we have made a mistake to come to this material world? Does it make sense to you that you should be humble and full of love and care? So some people don't believe in something because they don't like it, not because it doesn't make sense. So it's easy to reject something if you don't like it. I don't like the idea that there is Krishna, God, and that He is in the center. Therefore, I reject it. Well, but my question to you is, does it pay off to reject God? will you profit, will you benefit if you reject him? And it is said that he is our greatest well-wisher. Does it pay off to be on the opposite side, to be against him, to blaspheme him? It's very obvious that it doesn't pay off. So you tell me now, what increases faith? What increases your faith in Krishna or God? Yes? You feel his presence when you do some work. You feel his presence when you do some work. Okay. Okay. Can you please close the window? I opened it. That one. Yeah. So that's one way to increase faith. Other ways? Yes? What? Books. Reading books. To become intellectually convinced that there is God. Uh-huh. Like Michael Kramer or Druta Karma about forbidden archaeology. Human devolution, yes. Okay. So these books, scientific, spiritual scientific books. Srimad Bhagavatam, reading books. Okay, what else? What increases your faith? Oh, meeting devotees who have faith, associating with them. Very nice. At the end of his life, Srila Prabhupada asked his disciples, are you convinced? Nobody said anything. Prabhupada said, I am convinced. So he had absolute faith in Krishna, and he also ignited our faith by his words, by his dealings. Anything else? Kirtan. After kirtan, you have more faith. Jai. What else? What makes you believe in God? Huh? Taking more showers. He felt more pure, like. Externally. Aha, you feel spiritual energy. Aha. You mean in nature, or?
I need to see something.
I had an experience. So you tell me whether this experience should have increased my faith. I had an experience waiting for people for 1 hour or 2 hours at the station at the agreed place, and they said they were there during the time I was there, and I haven't seen them. And I missed them, and I missed the whole meeting. There was a meeting. So that was very mystical. But it was a miss. It was not a win. So that's also Krishna. Okay, anything else increases faith? How would you help somebody develop faith in God? They say, I don't believe in God. Why do you believe in God? To read the books. What is your name? Where are you from? Okay. Have I seen you in Amsterdam? No? Okay. I was there once and I gave some talks and courses and kirtans and in, well, I forgot. I think Janmashtami knows which year, maybe 3-4 years ago. But I haven't seen you there. Okay. Madhu Gopal. So, how do you strengthen your own faith? She has so much faith, right? Wow, that's a good example of faith. She had faith in a very difficult moment. She was completely helpless, but she had full faith. That's a good example, actually. So anyway, think about this. Think about what makes you, your faith stronger. What makes your faith stronger, and then how would you convince other people to believe in God? That's very important. If your faith is strong, then you can do anything, and you can go through any trial and tribulation, you can go through any problem and not lose faith. You see, ordinary people who don't have knowledge about God, they believe in God, they pray to God, but when they are in trouble, they have start having doubts. Why God is allowing such bad things to happen to such a nice guy like me? They don't understand. Especially when there is trouble. Yes. Focus on chanting mantra. He will experience God. Yeah. So, I have prepared three ways to increase faith. And you have heard about these ways. And these are instructions also to simplify the process of devotional service. Namaruchi, Vaishnava Seva, and Jiva Doya. If you have a taste for the holy name, your faith will increase. If you serve devotees who have faith, your faith will increase. And if you are compassionate to other living entities, you will feel the presence of God because He wants you to be compassionate. And on top of it, if you have knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, where everything is explained, then your faith will be very strong. So don't lose faith when it gets tough. Increase your faith when it gets tough. Be so smart that you will turn the problem into an opportunity. Don't be like an ordinary, you know, like simple person whose faith is actually very, very weak. And it's not based on higher knowledge. It's just based on sentiment. It is based on sentiment. And it's not enough. Okay, second thing I wanted to speak about in regard to spiritual care is that we should help devotees and ourselves to ask better questions. If you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 5, this verse and purport explain the importance of questions. And Sutta Goswami is thanking Shaunaka Rishi for presenting six questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. First question is, what is the ultimate good for everyone? This question is universal, it's for everyone, it's for, good for everyone. So we have to learn to ask spiritual questions. We are asking wrong questions. Like people ask a question, why me? This is not a spiritual question. Spiritual question is, why not you? Yeah, why not you? Why not you? Why should not you go through what you are going through? Why not? Why don't you learn from it? Why don't you turn it into an opportunity? People are asking a very, very unintelligent question, why others are not perfect. This is a waste of time. It's better to ask what? How can I improve? Or how can I improve? Huh? Why I am perfect? Oh, this is arrogant question. This is a very arrogant question. So, you know, why other people are not perfect? When they are going to become perfect? If all of you become perfect, I will be happy. So therefore, hurry up. This will not going to work. You cannot change others. The only person you can change is you. You can change yourself. You can influence others, but you cannot. They have to agree to change. Or you can change them for a short period of time, but then they will go back to their old ways. So, we need to have a set of questions that will help us succeed. And on Sunday, we will have a workshop for the students of the college and teach them about peer coaching, how they can coach each other. And the questions have the crucial role in that. There is a system called Q-storming. Q-storming is like brainstorming. You just, instead of looking for solutions and ideas, you are looking first for questions, good questions. A question not answered is a door not opened. Questions create opportunities. Questions open your thinking, your creativity. In the Vedic astrology, there is a system of prashna where basically you ask God what to do. You ask God what to do through the system of prashna, and if you have a good astrologer. Questions are of such an importance in our process. Our whole Krishna consciousness starts with inquiry, adhato brahma jigyasa. Now that I am in this human form of life, is the time to inquire about Brahman or Absolute Truth. Tadvidi pranipate na pariprashne na sevaya. Approach spiritual master, inquire submissively. How to ask questions? Submissively. You can ask Krishna who is in your heart. So questions are very, very powerful. Inquiry is very, very important. Curiosity is very, very important. in life. I teach curiosity as a mindset of a coach, mindset of a guide. When you have someone before you coming with a problem or with a goal and they need your assistance, you're curious how Krishna is present in this person's life and how we are going to use whatever they are going through for their benefit and for their progress. You become curious. Children are naturally curious, but as we grow, we lose our curiosity and we become stereotyped and boring. But children are never bored. There is always something interesting. They're always looking for something or trying to break something or trying to open something or unscrew something or create some shape or, you know, like splash something. Always curious. So I will give you a few amazing questions, some of my favorites. But before that, I want to tell you a story, true story from the Second World War, of a question that saved one man's life. So questions can save lives. In the Second World War, Nazis have entered the house of a Jewish person in Poland and killed his family in front of his eyes and took him to the concentration camp. And they did experiments on his body, and many people were killed in gas chambers and piled up on the trucks and brought to other places outside. And he didn't know how long he's going to live, because every day they could have selected him to be killed in the gas chamber. But his way of thinking was different than the way of thinking of other prisoners. Why? Because he asked himself a different question. Other prisoners were asking, why I'm in this situation, why these people are so cruel, why God put me into this or life. But he was asking, what question do you think he was asking? How can I escape? This is such a natural question. Probably when you were young, or now maybe you're young, but when you were younger, you watched at least one movie in your life, Escape from a Prison, isn't it? It's either Alcatraz or I forgot the names of famous prisons, but some of the prisons, Escape from a Prison. And you have seen that these guys who escaped, they actually believed it's possible and they found a way. So this man continued, he tried to talk to other prisoners and devise a plan to run away together. But they told him, you're just torturing your mind, forget it, it's impossible. You know, it's guarded very perfectly. But he didn't believe it. He continued asking, how can I escape? How can I escape? I don't know if he was religious and he was praying, but I know for sure that he was asking this question. And one day, he got an idea. He saw this truck with corpses, which were all naked. And when they were coming back during the twilight from their work, he quickly took off his clothes. He had very little things, one shirt, one trousers, and underwear. Folded, put it in the bushes, and climbed on the truck and mixed with the naked corpses and waited. Nobody noticed. The guards were tired. They didn't count how many people are there. He took his chance. And after half an hour, the driver came and, drove the truck outside of the premises of the concentration camp. And nobody noticed. Nobody would check if corpses are running away. Nobody noticed that there is one of the corpses actually not dead. So they unloaded it to a big hole where there was already. So it's not easy to be with these corpses. Some of them are stinking, they're decomposing. It's a little bit scary to be with all these dead bodies, but he thought maybe it's worth it to all do all this kind of unpleasant austerity. And he was waiting. And the driver unloaded the corpses and actually stayed a few more minutes. I don't know what he was doing, smoking a cigarette. And our man was waiting until it was peaceful. And after about 15-20 minutes, the truck went away. Nobody noticed. He got up and ran away naked 20 kilometers to freedom. They never caught him. So this question saved his life. And the question was very simple. How can I escape? So there is, in the Bible, it says, ask and you shall receive. Hare Krishna. Ask and you shall receive. So he asked and he received a solution. He received an answer. So imagine if this question saved his life, how much we can improve the quality of our lives if we start asking spiritual questions. In the purport to the verse I mentioned, the verses 1, 2, 5, Srila Prabhupada says, only questions about Krishna can fully satisfy the soul. Only questions about Krishna can completely satisfy the soul. So it's in our own interest to start asking spiritual questions. If somebody upsets you in your life, if somebody disturbs you, you can ask a very spiritual question. How can I please Krishna in this situation? Instead of getting angry and hating that person and trying to revenge or fight or quarrel, you can ask yourself, how can I please Krishna in this difficult situation? This person is making me trouble. What should I do? What will be the spiritual response? Yesterday we spoke about three kinds of responses, in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of goodness. So these are some. So I think we can provide wonderful care for devotees if we just train them and convince them to use better questions. Because why? Why are questions important? Because actually the process of thinking is consisted of questions and answers. Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport. Always questions and answers are there. Even maybe you had a question before you came here, shall I go or shall I not? Shall I profit or shall I lose if I go to this talk or class? So we always ask questions. And now if you improve your questions, you will improve your answers. You will improve your thinking, you will improve your decisions, and if you improve your decisions, you will improve your action, and if you improve your action, you will improve your results. So, better results start with better questions. So therefore, this is a very important aspect of care, self-care and care for others. My service of coaching is very much based on questions. I actually avoid giving advice in one-to-one situation. I just ask questions, help people think for themselves and help them discover their own answers. Sometimes I say something, I teach a lot, but in one-to-one I help people to learn how to think for themselves effectively. So, before I finish, I want to give you few powerful questions. Four questions. One is the question that you can use to create many questions. For example, this question is called "How can I improve?" question. So this means, how can I improve my chanting? How can I improve my reception? This question is always useful. It's always powerful. How can I improve something? So this question you can always use. Second question, what do you want to have in your life, excuses or results? How many of you want to have excuses in your life? Nobody. How many of you want results? Almost everybody. So, but what we are good at, what we are good doing, we are good at excuses usually. So therefore, if you want results, we have to become better. We give up excuses and get better in achieving results. Another question. What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? This is a question about an inspiring goal. What one great thing would you dream, or would you dare to dream to do, or would you dream to do if you knew you could not fail? You know, for 100% I will be successful. And that's something big. So what one great thing... Oh, you are there. Okay. If you knew you could not fail. Okay. Oh, I have to be careful what I say because other people are listening also. not only those who are here. Try to customize for this audience, you know. Okay. And maybe my most favorite question, I left it for the end. It's two questions, but they go together. This question eliminates all excuses. If not you, who? If not now, when? This question eliminates all excuses. Well, I can do it. Maybe somebody else can do it. Maybe somebody else can give class. Maybe somebody else can take responsibility. Maybe somebody else can clean. Maybe somebody else can cook. Maybe somebody else can preach. Maybe somebody else this and that. No. If not you, who? There is nobody else. Only you can do it. And, well, maybe I can do it, but next year, or when I finish my diploma, or when my daughter gets married, or when my father dies, or whatever. No. If not now, when? Tomorrow you can die. This next second you can die. Now is the best time to start. Yes. Well, he didn't waste time. So he actually took action even in India. So that's also, if you are just preparing yourself to do something big, that's also action. I mean, these two questions, they give call to action. Actually, he first didn't want, he didn't understand, you know, what he's supposed to do, but he had a dream and the guru told him to take sannyas and he was kind of resisting all these things. But I'm recommending that you skip all kinds of hesitation and resistance and embrace everything that Krishna is offering to you, all the opportunities to take responsibility for him and to basically to take responsibility in the preaching mission. Okay, so this was my presentation for today. We spoke about faith, we spoke about questions. If you want to know more about these things, especially about the questions, I have a lot of materials that I can share with you for free, electronically. If you give me your stick, I will a copy for you. You can read. There is one good books about questions. There is good articles about questions. I have lists of questions. Now, last list I started compiling today is called Spiritual Questions, and I'm going to have a file where I have materials on spiritual questions. Yes. Absurd questions. Okay. What would be an absurd question? What would be... Okay. What is an example of an absurd question? For example, absurd question is why God wants to enjoy. Why is he a supreme enjoyer? Why is he a supreme controller? Why not me? You can't question that. Why he doesn't give me money? Why he should give you money? You always misuse it. We have always counter. How can I take responsibility to make money? Okay, we have three more minutes before 8:30. Any other? If somebody is negative to you, these are not contradictory things. All contradictions are resolved in Krishna consciousness. So one thing is that we shouldn't allow other people's negativity to, how you say, discourage us, because we can always do something. You know, I was speaking about extreme example when parents tell you, you will never be able to do anything, you're just useless for anything. In that situation, humility doesn't mean that you say, yes, you are right, I'm useless and I'm going to do nothing. That's not humility. Humility means, well, you can say, yeah, yes, I'm very useless, but Krishna is great, and if he can give me the energy, he gave me intelligence, if I surrender to him, and if he can use me as an instrument in his hands, and then if he wants through me, he can do so many things. That would be humility in that situation. And not just accepting negativity and having it as an excuse to be lazy. Is that okay? That's obvious. Oh, yeah. No, if there is a life danger and you want to prevent somebody's killing themselves, of course you should be negative. You say, stop! Don't do it! Yeah, in that case, that's... This means you have to exercise your intelligence. You have to learn how to discriminate. And you learn through the scriptures, the principles, how to discriminate, and you also learn through mistakes. Through the school of hard knocks. I have to stop here. We can speak in the corridor, but now it's 8:30. Thank you very much. Tomorrow we will have some slides in the evening. Not the whole session, but part of the session. I will present you the work of the Devotee Care Committee so that you can get inspired. And so please come, invite other devotees. But thank you very much for coming. And Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I can send you an email.
Yeah. Are you on phone?
No, Gmail. Okay. Akrura@gmail.com. AKRURA. Akrura. You know how to write Akrura? Yeah.
So six letters.
Just send me an email.
Your email. Okay.